Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now it's live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am a very hungover and very voice not having Pete Quinnell.
And I'm Mandy and I'm
You don't
a
get to
voice.
Introduce yourself.
No, I don't.
And I'm joined.
I just wanted to make it clear that I have a lovely voice today because I had to leave the Christmas party early because I'm an idiot.
And you also don't drink.
That's true.
I'm joined by Randy Andy Datsun.
Hello, everyone. Yes, I don't drink.
Yes.
It's saved me
so
a lot.
You're fresh.
It saved me a lot of money in the past. Yeah, I am fresh. I played a charity football match this morning, soccer match this morning, which was a lot of fun. It's in memory of one of our old players who sadly passed away. So it was very nice to see everyone again. But
that
yes,
is very nice.
It was nice. But I think the main talking points of this will be Christmas show.
Yep.
And
Christmas party.
The disastrous, it wasn't disastrous, it was wonderfully disastrous last night, which ended in such fun.
Yes, it was. Also, I know you've just done a very nice thing with the charity football game and all that stuff, but actually mute your laptop.
Oh, yeah.
So it went off while you were telling your story about your friend, and I was like, you know what, I'll wait till he's done.
I thought you were going to say
but
that.
Actually mute your laptop.
I thought you were going to say that I have very dirty knees, which... No one will be
Which
able to tell.
You do have very dirty knees.
I do. I'm a dirty, dirty boy.
Oh, you stop that right
I
now.
I will. But there we go. So yeah, tell me about what happened after I left last night. Because unfortunately, there is a train strike in London at the moment, which meant that I had to leave about half an hour into the karaoke, which was a two-hour karaoke session. I was very upset to do so, but needs must, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, let's do it in order, because yesterday was a big day at WrestleTalk HQ.
Yes, it was.
Because we had, we recorded our Christmas special, which goes up on Christmas Day, which was a disaster in the best
way.
It
was the worst show we've ever put together, but also simultaneously
the best show.
The most fun I think I've ever had here.
Right, yeah. It was absolutely bonkers and completely, there was no format, there were no rules.
No.
It was supposed to last an hour. It lasted 2 hours.
I swore once.
You did?
And then I got completely murdered for that.
You did?
And then everyone else swore several times. And
did they?
And then at the end, well, not several times, but there were definitely some other swear words. And at the end, I went, oh, you know, Laurie said blah, blah. And you said that at one point. He was like, oh, no, I managed to muffle it. And I'm like, no, I heard you say it very clearly. Like, it'll be fine.
Yeah, so we recorded that, which was 2 hours of mess. If you don't or you haven't watched the Christmas specials on our YouTube channel before, I would recommend watching this one because it is great.
And if you haven't got time to watch the whole two-hour show, then I would skip to about 15 minutes before the end. Because
I know, it's a little bit earlier than that.
Oh, okay, about half an hour
I would
go
to roughly 1 hour 37 and 50 seconds.
Roughly, because there is something that happens which it has us all... crying with laughter. And I'm saying crying with laughter. Actively crying. There were tears on all of our faces. It was simply just due to a mistranslation, really.
A misphrasing of something.
And it was just hilarious.
The funniest thing that we've all... And the thing with the Christmas special is everyone was here.
Mm.
So we had Ollie and Luke and Laurie and me and you and Simon.
Even Louis as well.
Even Louis. Danger Louis Dangle from WrestleTalk.com. From WrestleTalk.com. So we had all of us were in the studio. So I think we were all drinking from much earlier in the day.
And I'd had a couple of like Pepsis and things. So I was pretty hyper.
You were pepped up, one might say. And we were confined in a very... you got bipped. That's a joke for the show that no one will understand until it goes up. Yeah, we were all confined in a studio when it got very, very hot. So I think we were all a little bit delirious from the heat anyways.
Yeah.
And a little bit drunk.
It was basically like watching a frat party, but just a really bad one.
Yeah.
Because everyone just stopped being human and just dissolved into monstrosities of beings.
It was fantastic. But then after that, Ollie, Luke and Laurie recorded Ramble Club.
For several hours and we thought they had disappeared.
We thought they died. So, you know. They did that for a while we went to the pub and Simon and Louis debated politics.
Yes, Pete turned up, texted me saying, this is fun because Simon and Louis would not stop talking
about Brexit.
So then Pete and I distracted them with Mario Kart.
We just said, we're going to play Mario Kart instead.
And we played them in Mario Kart.
Did a bit of No Mercy. By the way, just before we move on from that, I won at Mario Kart. Every race we did.
You turned up, I was winning. And then as soon as you turned up, I was useless.
I think it's
the smaller screen. I just couldn't get around it.
I think it's because you're bad at the game. I mean, you also complained that your controller was faulty, and then I raced with your controller and I still won.
Yeah, but then I came second, so I think it was for me. I just have very, very delicate thumbs. You know? So we played a bit of No Mercy.
Oh, you know, those delicate thumbs.
And then Simon and Luke played a game that had such a confusing name, but it was about aliens and it was on the...
It was a really long title, wasn't it? Yeah, it was basically like Streets of Rage and Contra. Yeah.
But then it was time to go to the karaoke. Should we discuss karaoke once in the outro?
Yes, we should. We'll tease karaoke, but it's the main reason why my voice is so messed up today is karaoke, because as you can imagine, we shouted our lungs out.
Want to have a bit of a taste of that, then go to our Instagram, wrestletalk.official, as there is Luke filmed some live, and
he
it
did.
Is still we'll be on there for the next kind of 12 hours. After this has gone out, I suppose 10 hours.
Yeah, something like that anyways. So if you're within 10 hours, exclusive pod swafters, then you can go to Instagram. But if not, then I know there's one I know that is in video form, which was me doing a song, which we'll talk about later because it was the best moment of the night.
And if anyone wants to see me save two penalties from my match earlier, then they were both filmed. So just drop me an email and I'll send those to you.
Cool. Yeah.
So we are talking about Otis.
We are. Yeah, let's talk about SmackDown. My brain literally just checked out of what we were doing for a second there. Let's talk about SmackDown. Let's talk about, is Otis just the greatest of 2019? Here's the show. So let's talk about SmackDown. Is Otis the greatest of 2019? Yes, he's just amazing. I love Otis.
He has
so much more than I ever thought I could.
Because he's turned from being just a member of a SmackDown tag team, which no one really cared about, into arguably the loudest pop of every single SmackDown show.
It's absurd how over he is.
Even when he walks onto the screen, you can hear, like backstage, you can hear the crowd in the arena cheering as soon as he comes out. And the biggest one, obviously, is when he takes his top off, reveals that cut bod. And he has just turned what was a I'm a bit creepy gimmick into what is just almost unmissable television. Which is amazing.
This was capped off on this episode. There's actually some storyline development here because there's going to be a Miracle on 34th Street fight.
Yes, they do between, one of these every year, it seems.
Heavy Machinery versus Revival. And Heavy Machinery are backstage with Kathy Kelly. And Otis says that he loves giving out gifts, especially ham. Mm. And after last week when Cesaro did...
The
World's Strongest Ham. And he was saying, you know, I love Christmas, ducky, etc.
Yeah.
Great Otis promo, just usual. But then Mandy Rose, out of nowhere, walks into shot. Everyone instantly goes, ooh, Mandy Rose.
And the thing is, this is obviously very... As Seth Rollins mentioned in his gorilla... No, it wasn't gorilla...
Just say what you're saying.
No. it was the long-term booking. Because remember, Otis used to fancy Mandy.
You know what's really annoying?
What?
Is I've recorded a Christmas video about every dropped storyline from WWE in 2019. And one of them is that Otis really fancies Mandy Rose. Because they never followed up on it until now.
The thing is, sometimes you need to take a bit of a break and you just come back to the romance.
For several months.
I mean, there must have been times in your life where you fancied a girl and then 6 months went by where you were in no segments with her. And then suddenly she comes back into your life. Because you're suddenly over with the crowd.
Because she has got Otis in Secret Santa. That's how it works anyway. So Mandy Rose came in and said she's got Otis in the SmackDown Secret Santa, and she saw what happened last week, so she's gifted him a ham.
Yeah, not quite my as big God. A ham.
No,
I guess,
but a
I
ham,
guess the New York butchers weren't as well-stocked as
not as generous.
Last week.
But then she gives him a ham. He looks overwhelmed at having a ham in the first place, and then she says... Happy Christmas, Otis, and gives him a kiss on the cheek. Whew. Otis, live
it. I thought this was
the
PG
life.
Era.
Oh my God, disgusting behavior. Wow. What? Like, the crowd went mental.
Yeah, it's
when
the
this
most
happened.
Over Mandy Rose has ever been.
You're not wrong. Yeah. It genuinely, just that, and the crowd were just like, yeah. Yeah. So on board.
Absolutely.
So on board with
it's
this.
It's the best romance angle WWE is currently doing. And to be honest, there's not a lot of competition.
No.
Have you seen
not even close.
Bobby Lashley and Lana have set a date for their wedding?
Is it Raw? Shocking.
It's the 30th of December. And so that means they've taken 2 weeks to plan their wedding. And it's 3 weeks after she got divorced.
Yeah.
It's almost like... It's
fake.
Kayfabe.
Yeah, shocking. But then they were getting interviewed in gorilla position where this whole gifting of the ham and kiss on the cheek happened. Then it was the match itself.
The gifting of the ham is what I... No.
Stop it. The Heavy Machinery and Revival match. This was actually really fun. I was expecting to hate this match because normally I hate these kind of gimmicks.
They generally do one around Thanksgiving where there's probably a lot of pumpkins. Yeah. And then they do one where
turkeys.
There's usually someone is dressed as Santa and then he gets hit with a sack.
Or a car in the case of Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah. So, but compared to those matches, and it was always going to be fun because you got Heavy Machinery, who are great.
Very
and you've
fun.
Got the Revival, who are brilliant.
Who, they're genuinely... Very funny, comedic characters. I know they're really good wrestlers, some of the best wrestlers in the world, but when they're doing comedy, they're bloody hilarious.
Almost touched the table.
You don't want to touch the table.
Very sticky.
After the Christmas video that we did yesterday, it's a dirty desk.
I think all these wrestlers who have spent some time in the indies have so much more of a sense of humor than the kind of original WWE guys. And you can see that come out in all their matches. And it was great. There was a Lego spot.
Oh, that genuinely
probably really hurts.
Really hard to take.
More than thumbtacks.
But still, that was like, that wasn't a soft bump either.
No.
That was literally Otis grabbing Scott Dawson, just going straight onto some Lego. Like, ow, that must really hurt. There was a bowling ball spot.
Mm.
There was a bit where, I love this bit where, Tucker was going to be double suplexed through a table, and Otis goes and saves him, grabs his leg and pulls him down, and just goes, "Dug it!" as he's doing it. I bloody love Otis. But then there's one bit where they had like a Christmas tree set up in the corner and like a load of like presents underneath, which were basically cardboard boxes but wrapped up. And then he suplexed Wilder. He suplexed him into the tree, into the presents, and he just vanished behind
so
the boxes.
So you could say that this was a boxing match.
Why are you here again?
I don't know, man. For that kind of humor. But it was a great spot, nonetheless.
It was a fun spot. And genuinely, this isn't going to happen very often.
Mm.
I liked Michael Cole in this match. Because Otis came out with the hand that he just got gifted and he had it on the commentary table. And throughout the whole match, anytime there was a spot near the commentary table, Cole would be like, but watch out for the ham! Like, the whole time. And it was very funny.
Michael Cole voted the most abysmal commentator in WrestleTalk magazine.
Then there's one bit where the Revival get the ham and they throw it on the ground in
what?
The spirit of Lonely.
They did a World's Strongest Ham as well.
No.
No.
Because they just kind of threw
it. Honestly, I was surprised that Otis and Tucker picked up the win.
I wasn't.
No?
No. It's a gimmick match on a holiday show.
That's true.
I wasn't surprised by that. But then, yeah, they just win with the compactor, Heavy Machinery pick up the win, and then my next note was, that was a fun, dumb match.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not often going to compliment Corey Graves on commentary, but he had a great line afterwards. They were looking at the replay of the Caterpillar, and Corey Graves goes, look at the height achieved by Otis. He must be 3-4 inches off the ground.
The thing was, he normally gets a bit more off the ground. I think he stumbled almost.
Possibly,
as he was getting up, he just went, nah, and just went straight into the elbow drop.
But then there was one more backstage segment after this as well, which was Otis goes backstage to find Mandy Rose, who's with Sonya Deville, and Sonya says, I've got a match. I'll see you later. So it's just Mandy. And Otis says that he's sorry about the ham because it got thrown on the floor, and then he kind of puts it on the side and she goes, oh, it's okay. And then they hug, and the look on Otis's face when she's giving the hug, he's like, my life.
But don't you think Tucker's going to be a bit jealous? I mean, clearly for Otis, it's Rose before bros.
That's two today, mate. You are pushing it.
It's Christmas.
You're pushing
it. But no, there was, I don't know if you've seen it, but there's been another WWE.com exclusive video.
It's not the end of that segment yet, mate.
Oh, yeah, because
because they were hugging, then they pulled away.
For a long time.
A decently long time. So the camera could get a good shot of Otis's face. Pulled back, they pulled away, and suddenly Mandy Rose's dress is soaking wet from Otis's sweat.
I mean,
which is,
that's going to happen when you pull out. So, I mean, and then, but the, later on, there was a WWE.com exclusive video.
I haven't heard about this.
So. You haven't seen this?
No.
It's not very interesting, but it's Sonya, there's Mandy Rose kind of standing backstage in a new top, because as I said, the first one's been sort of soiled.
Sweatified.
And Sonya Deville walks up having, spoilers, having lost her match from earlier in the night.
Say it ain't so!
And then she's like, oh, where have you been? You didn't have my back. And she's like, oh, I was hugging Otis and all this sort of thing. And then Sonya walks off a bit upset with her. But then returns and goes, wait, you gave him a ham? And then they just walk off arm in arm again.
I mean, this isn't the first time they've teased some sort of dissension between Fire and Desire. Nor do I think it will be the last.
No.
I don't think they're breaking up anytime soon.
No.
But let's get back on topic here, because Otis is the best person ever. Just those three segments, because, spoilers, the rest of the show is quite negative because this was a very boring show. I would say these three segments were the best things on the show.
Yeah.
Like, hands down.
But
they were so fun.
This is just a Christmas fun thing, or is this an actual romance storyline between Otis and Mandy Rose?
I don't know. I feel like they might follow up on it. I don't know if it's going to be a full storyline, because I don't think they care enough to do a full story for
it. And I don't think Vince believes that a buxom blonde such as Mandy Rose would fall for a...
I don't know. He's a big boy, and he likes big boys.
Exactly. That's true. And he's hairy, and he's sweaty.
And he always puts, like, overly large male people. He always gives them sexual characters.
That's true. Sexual chocolate.
Sexual chocolate and Viscera as well. Like, things like that. It was super duper weird. So maybe it might be a thing that Vince does. I don't know. But regardless, Otis is still the greatest person on planet Earth. And I look forward to every single segment that he's a part of.
He's the Christmas present I didn't know I wanted.
Exactly. And I don't understand how it's happened, but somehow Otis is so good in this year. This year, he has gone from a guy on NXT.
A guy on NXT who, like, why are they calling them up?
Yeah. Literally. Why are they being called up? They've got so much more to do in NXT first. And now he's the most over thing on SmackDown. It's absurd. I love Otis. I want to see so much more of him.
Tired
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
We need to say thank you to some very special people, which are our $25 and above pledge hammers on Patreon. If you haven't been over to WrestleTalk's Patreon page yet, you should, because you get loads of bonus content. If you're at the $5 tier, you get an extra retro pay-per-view review podcast every month. $10, you get a special drunk podcast, one of which we recorded yesterday. And if you go at the $25 tier, you get your name shouted out on a show just like this one and your own personalized wrestling name.
Mainly, they'll find out why you filmed that video that was put up yesterday of you as Tyler Breeze, because if people don't know why you did that, then it might be very confusing.
That's true. Wrestle League, boy. So anyway, let's say thank you to these people, $25 pledge hammers. Thank you very much to Never Wrong Tyler Wright.
Of course he's never wrong. I've seen his surname. Fistful of Crisps. Chris Christopherson.
Oh, that is a tongue twister and a half. You get your own cheap pop as well. The D, John Mustard. Very good, very good.
It's-a me, DeMario.
Yeah, very good. I don't know about this next one. Do you?
Anal Propo. Well, Anal Propo.
I'll do the last two then. Manipulating Manny Umario.
That is a cool name.
That's very good.
Name.
The Vision Adonis.
Oh, awesome.
Thank you very
name.
Much. Let's see what you guys thought. Let's get into some super chats here. We haven't got any about Otis, which is a shame. All of them should be about Otis. But we've got a couple about Bray and the Fiend here. Christoph Connorsman said, hey guys, you're doing great work. Question, now that The Miz has kind of a history with Bray Wyatt, do you think The Fiend will haunt both guys now? Now, this does actually link into what happened after the show went off the air, which we're actually going to discuss later when we come on to the ending segment. But, short story, yes. Basically. Hell Lord 247 said no Bray Fiend on the show was very disappointing. He came out right after the show went off the air.
Yeah. So I don't think you need him on it.
I don't think you need him.
I get why people are disappointed because he is such a draw and people want to see him on TV because that's that they want to see their favorites.
Exactly.
But I can see why he isn't, because the whole point of his character is that he isn't overexposed and that he only comes out when he needs to.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't see that as a mistake.
And I don't think, like, Roman wasn't on the show, nor was he mentioned throughout the whole thing.
No.
At least there's still storylines being built around The Fiend and Bray Wyatt, and he's still, you know, part of the picture and still moving forward. He's not being forgotten about. So I don't think you need him on it on the show.
And also the Romans didn't celebrate Christmas.
Got some miscellaneous super chats about WWE. We'll do a few of these before we get back into the rest of the show. Mm. KJ said, why is every feud in WWE about someone's family? You're not wrong.
Because it's very easy to book.
It is.
It's incredibly easy to book because all you have to do is say, you are a bad parent, or your daughter / son is ashamed of you. And then that's a feud.
That's a feud right there. Or you can attack someone's family and just be like, or they've invaded the privacy of my own home.
Bonus if their husband or wife is a wrestler.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
because
yeah.
Then they can have a backstage segment and say, oh, man, she was being mean about you. And they go, oh, well, I'll beat up her boyfriend or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's just so easy to book. And especially around this time of year, you'll notice that the feuds seem to have even less effort put into them.
Yep, because no one watches.
It's between TLC and Royal Rumble where kind of traditionally the ratings drop.
Yep.
By a large amount.
So do the ratings drop because they don't care, or do they not care because the ratings drop?
What a conundrum.
Mm. Dylan Voorhees said, I understand how everything is repetitive, but as soon as Ziggler came out, I knew Corbin would be following behind. Same SmackDown, different week. Wasn't it the other way around this time? Wasn't it Corbin came out and then Ziggler came out?
Yeah, Corbin came out
but
first.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, Corey Graves. Ready. Did you see Corey Graves on his After the Bell podcast? Kind of, like, I know it's kind of, everything will be sort of given its blessing by Vince or whoever's kind of in charge, but he said that he was tired of seeing the same matches week after week on Raw and SmackDown, and
I
think so is everyone. It's getting harder to care, which is very sort of,
and that is sad. Yeah, it's kind of the same situation before when Corbin was being pushed to the top of the card, or when Shane McMahon was across every show every week. It just felt the same every time, and it got really, really boring.
Yeah.
Last super chat for now before we get into the rest of the show. The burial of the revival begins, says Sid Art Online, which is true. If they become comedy characters, because okay with it because they're so funny.
Thing is, they even mention in there. Promo afterwards, like, oh, we're having a different gimmick every week, and it's like that kind of feels like they were going. The report is from the Wrestling Observer newsletter that WWE are sort of considering giving them a bit of a comedy gimmick because everyone knows that they will not be extending their contracts. Dawson's runs out in April and Wilder's runs out in June. So I hope you like seeing the revival in WWE because the time is running out.
Yes, but like I said, if they're going to become comedy jobbers, I'm okay with it because they're so funny doing it.
Yeah,
and then
absolutely.
After their contracts are up, they can go to Passers New and be good wrestlers again. So let's get into the main show. The show kicked off with a video recap of the Bryan, Miz, Fiend stuff from TLC, and then Daniel Bryan came out, and I thought, thank God it's not Baron Corbin.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Thank God it's not a 20-minute heel promo where he makes fun of, insert,
the town.
Face. Yeah.
Yeah. Daniel Bryan came out, it's a huge yes chance. And Corey Graves very poignantly on the commentary desk as the camera was showing Michael Cole, Corey Graves said, Bray had better be prepared to enter the dragon. The American dragon, that is. Bryan cut a really fiery promo saying that his daughter didn't recognize him after Bray ripped out his hair and his beard.
For someone who ripped out his hair and his beard, he did a very clean job.
I would assume he ripped out a lot and then Bryan cleaned the rest of himself up to make it even, is what I'd say.
Possibly. Just
big brain, mate. He's saying, but he recognized himself, though, even though his daughter didn't. And the last time he looked like this, he was a man who was never handed a damn thing, and he had to scratch and claw for everything he got, because the Daniel Bryan with the long hair and the long beard is the one who'd been given everything.
He was a heel last time he was this shaved, wasn't he? Because he was the time when he was face originally. Yeah, yeah, but then he turned heel. So the last time we saw him as this character was when he was here. We're going to get corrected here, but I think that's correct. Then he's when he was doing the Yes Movement was when he had his kind
it was
of
when he was long
when
haired,
Michael
yeah.
Cole wouldn't stop calling him a goat or whatever it was.
Yeah. Yeah, that was weird. Mm. But then he calls out Bray Wyatt, and he says that, oh yeah, Bray Wyatt said that he's taught himself to not feel pain. Come out right here, right now, and I'll prove that wrong. Mm. But Wyatt doesn't come out. Miz comes out instead. And Miz says, hey, Wyatt violated the privacy of my own home. Yeah. With all due respect, he's mine, essentially. Which I thought was nice. It was like, sure, you can beat him up if you want, but like, I'm going to be taking the title away from him. And then my heart sank because Baron Corbin came out. Mm. Jesus Christ.
Do you think that they could possibly be leading to a triple threat between The Miz and Daniel Bryan and The Fiend at Royal Rumble?
Because that's not a bad shout.
The Miz was like, I'm taking the one thing he cares about, which suggests there will be another match between The Miz and The Fiend. And it would be a way of even extending the feud. If Miz takes the pin at Royal Rumble,
you could still do Bryan at Mania
or Elimination Chamber, yeah. Or what was it?
Fastlane. Yeah.
One of the really fun shows between.
Yeah. Corbin comes out and says that Bryan's brand is failure. Oh. And then says he won on Sunday, and then he throws to a video package, and it's just like three clips of him celebrating his win afterwards, mm. and the ring announcer repeating the same line of, here is your winner, King Corbin. Here is your winner, King Corbin. It was annoying. It was a good heel thing.
Yeah. And he gets, to be fair to him, really, really good heat.
He does. I don't know how much of it is real. I don't know if any of it is piped in, because some of it sounded
Let's not accuse WWE.
I'm not accusing them. I'm speculating because it wouldn't be the first time.
Maybe they put the microphones up when that
possibly.
Sort of thing happens.
I don't know.
Nonetheless, he gets.
Oh, he does get heat regardless. Yeah. He says that both of them have failed as fathers, and that's when they kind of think that he's crossed the line. They both throw the microphones away.
See, that's what I said earlier, wasn't it?
Yeah, families.
Just
and then
insert
they,
family
they look like they're walking up to him, but then Ziggler comes out of nowhere, hits Bryan from behind, super kicks The Miz, and then an end of days to Bryan, and then they go, way, and then the music plays, and they walk away. And I was like, why?
Because it built
to the main event, which was announced shortly after of Corbin and Ziggler versus Miz and Bryan in the main event. So once again, you can't have a SmackDown without Baron Corbin opening and closing the show.
Yeah, it's getting
repetitive.
Hopefully this is a transitional phase. But like I said before, this is the problem with having The Fiend as your main champion, because he's your main... I would call him a heel now. Mm-hmm. Like, he can't do these in-ring promos, and he can't do these sort of matches every week, which means you've got no one other than Baron Corbin, really. I mean, who else is a heel other than the people who he sucked into his vortex?
But the thing is, I don't think this segment needed a heel antagonist for Miz and Bryan, though, at all. The story is there for Miz, Bryan, and The Fiend. Now Baron Corbin's like, I'm also here! It's like, no, you're not involved in this story. Stop it.
But I just think you could do, and I'm sorry to name drop another company, and I'm not going to say it, but another company, what they do is just say,
Impact.
This week we're having... This show is going to be this match is going to be our main event, and it's just like an exhibition match between two really good wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
There's no problem with doing that.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have to have a story. Just say, oh, by the way, this week, Shinsuke Nakamura is taking on Kofi Kingston in the main event, or whatever it is. Just if you just put a match on, give it 15-20 minutes, the crowd's going to leave happy. The only reason this was made the main event was because of the post-show angle.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, 100%.
Which is weird because no one sees the post-show angle. You shouldn't be setting up a post-show angle in your main event.
In the main show, yeah.
The stuff that happens before should be leading up to the main event.
Yeah, It doesn't make any sense. We had an ad break, and then we got a video replay of literally what just happened before the ad break. We don't have memories of goldfishes. Shut up, Danson. We get the first of
the... There was a camera cut between the two... between the before the break and after the break, and I just forgot what happened. I can't concentrate
with camera cuts. We have Dana Brooke backstage. Bliss and Cross come and say hi, and then Lacey Evans comes in with her daughter. It's Chekhov's daughter. She's going to come into play later. We then get the whole Heavy Machinery revival stuff that we spoke about earlier, and then the revival is still in the ring afterwards, saying that the garbage around their ring is their legacy, and they had a ladder match on Sunday, now they got a street fight. Whatever happened to tag team wrestling? Now it's sports entertainment. And I was like, oh my god, they're marks.
Said it.
Their gimmick now is their marks. That's amazing. But then Elias interrupts them
with
got a good pop. Who wants to walk with Elias? Still over, great.
His songs have become worse since he turned babyface.
Totally. This one, again, first line I thought was funny, which was something about his grandma watched a match of theirs, and now she's on life support.
Yeah.
Thought that was funny.
Unless your grandma is on life support, in which case it might hit hard. But he was saying
his grandma.
Okay.
Which I think is fine. If it's more self-deprecating, that's okay. But then he says that the revival have to make a change like Caitlyn Jenner.
I wonder who wrote that line.
Yeah, that's a Vince line if ever I bloody heard it.
Yeah.
Although I'd be surprised if Vince actually knows who Caitlyn Jenner is.
Yeah.
What's the point of that line?
We're not going to get into it because it's a very touchy subject, but it's completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
Because there are so many other people and things that change. Caterpillars change into butterflies.
Yes.
One example.
Yeah.
You don't. It's just unnecessary. I don't know.
Change like the weather.
Exactly. Just. It just seemed like an unnecessary comment.
It's like they just wanted to put that in there to make people go, Ooh, he said that. And it's like, that's just kind of offensive.
But anyway,
I didn't like it. And that's the second week in a row that Elias has said something. I've been like,
yeah.
That's not great. No. Don't do that.
And he's coming across as a.
Bit of a knob.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of knobs, Braun Strowman is backstage.
Sorry.
Yep, you heard me. Sami Zayn comes up to Braun Strowman and says he's got him in Secret Santa.
Their Secret Santa seems very unusual because sometimes it was also last week.
It was. There should be a set date and a set budget. And they should record it, and it should go for 2 hours. They should get drunk while they're doing it, and then they should put it on YouTube on December 25th, which is exactly what we've done, which you should watch on Christmas Day, because we recorded that yesterday.
If you want to find out what it is and how I got it, then you should watch the Christmas special on Wednesday.
Jesus Christ, that's so soon. Wednesday, yes. Anyway, Sami Zayn comes in, says he's got Braun in Secret Santa. My next note was Sami is literally the best person ever, behind Otis. Braun says, you want to give me what I want for Christmas? I want an Intercontinental Championship match with Shinsuke Nakamura. And Sami is so good at this, and he kind of backpedals and being like, it's a great idea, but... Oh, no, they're in a tag team match. I can't do it tonight. Shucks.
This is an angle that was supposed to be set up about 3 weeks ago.
But Braun was injured, right?
But Braun got a back injury.
Yes.
The rumor was that there was supposed to be a match between Braun and Shinsuke at TLC, but unfortunately Braun was unable to compete.
Mm.
So it looks like they're doing probably a slow build to Rumble, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Or
totally.
I can totally see them just
next week
dropping it on a SmackDown show, yeah.
Yeah, next week, Braun will win. But then there was an odd line, and he says, Sammy's just like backing away to be like, oh yeah, they're going to need to go get ready for their tag match. We're going to head off back to the North Pole Christmas. And then Braun Strowman, as they're walking away, just goes, tell Kris Kringle I said hi when you're up there.
Whoa, that is...
Who? What? Why? Huh? I'm so confused at that line.
Hey, that is...
Who's Kris Kringle? Why would they say hi to him up there? Is he in the North Pole?
I'll find out for you.
Why would you say that? It's not a burn. What's wrong with you, Braun?
Kris Kringle may refer to Santa Claus. By assimilation, the United States of the separate German tradition...
Kris Kringle is Santa Claus.
It looks... Oh, so is the lead character in Miracle on 34th Street.
Right.
Is And I think it's all based in New York?
Probably. They were in Brooklyn for the show.
This is our knowledge of the United States coming out here.
Even so, even if we understood who Kris Kringle was, that's not a good line. No. That's not a burn. That's not an insult. I hate these little quips that the writers have to throw in because they're like, oh, it's really funny.
Yeah.
And none of them are funny. It's so annoying that they make their their baby feces. They make them look so stupid because they're not funny. And they're like, oh, his sick burn. Like, no, you can't drop the mic on a Kris Kringle. It's bad. Anyway, up next, we had a very quick match between Carmella and Sonya Deville. And I think the most shocking point of this match, Carmella got pyro.
Do you know why? It's because it was in New York and she's from Staten Island.
Also, Roman wasn't there, so they had the spare budget.
That's true.
That's not a slight against Carmella, by the way. That's a slight about how they've been booking the women's division and making them look very unimportant, and then saying, oh, by the way, they've got pyro.
This was their We Need Another Women segment this week.
Absolutely.
And it was a few minutes long.
Less than that. It was probably about a minute, I reckon.
Then Carmella did a very stilted sort of standing end of days leg sweep thing.
Yep.
And then into a code of silence.
And she taps.
Sonya taps very quickly, which is a shame because Sonya's really good.
She is. We
can say that as often as we like. She's not blonde and not a babyface. So.
Yeah. I wrote that it was wholly pointless and once again, no time for the women's division. And to really kind of hammer that point home, as Carmella was leaving the match, New Day make their entrance because they go, right, women get out of the way. Here's the real stuff. It's the men.
Stop
Focus
wrestling.
On the men.
Yes.
I found that quite disrespectful.
Shouldn't you all? No, I'm not saying. Yes.
Yeah. So it makes women seem so unimportant. Look what you should really be caring about is how it came across. Sheamus does another promo in a very dark corridor. Him just saying same things as last time.
It was basically like he'd gone, right, I wrote a promo last week.
I'll do it again.
Thesaurus.com. Put it in there and just said the same words, but in a slightly different order.
It's like if someone's taken your homework from school and said, you've got to slightly change it so it doesn't look the same. So the teacher doesn't know it's the same one.
For example, you're doing an essay and you find an essay online. You're thinking, oh, it's a really good introduction. But if I just change...
If I change this word
to
and that word,
from,
it's mine.
Yeah. So,
It's still the same. I'm excited to see Sheamus back, but I want him to do something that's not the same promo.
I would have preferred if this was 1 week of promo.
Totally.
Not how long it's been now.
I think it's been three weeks or four.
Of Sheamus promos now. Every time I see one, I'm less excited.
Yeah. I want to see him now do something.
He could have come out at the main event. He could have had a match. Like, this is Sheamus's return. After, what, like 8 months injured?
A long time,
And people thought he might have been retired. I mean,
yeah,
this is a big deal.
That is a big deal. And they're not
treating
it as
giving him
such.
The same promo.
I know. New Day then had a match against Nakamura and Cesaro. I wrote, this is a match. It was very standard. Heels work, babyfaces come back. Zayn runs interference. Heels work more. Ad break, babyfaces come back. There was a pop-up uppercut near fall thing, and then Kingston won with a roll-up.
What a finish.
There's really nothing to say about this match, because the commentators were putting it over like, oh, if they win, they're going to get a tag title opportunity, but like...
Yeah, I'm not...
It never felt like a big deal.
Yeah, I'm not going to be overly negative, because this happens every year. They just put matches on for no reason.
Just a match.
Because it's before Christmas.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much all you can really say about it. They don't, between end of TLC and Royal Rumble, it's sort of about 2 weeks before Royal Rumble, they might start doing some storylines.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I'm not saying you should do this, but you could stop watching now and start watching again kind of January 15th pit time, and you will genuinely not have missed anything.
Just go watch Wrestle Kingdom. On 4th and 5th.
Yeah, do that and follow up on WrestleTalk.com as well.
And also check the live reactions that we're doing for both days here too.
Do both.
Yeah. And then the New Day start getting beaten down after the match. It was a 3-on-2 because Sami Zayn gets involved as well. Braun Strowman comes out and makes the save. Rawr! Yeah. Comes down and beats him all off. Phrasing. And then Braun goes for a power slam onto Nakamura, but gets saved by Zayn. So they're building to that Braun-Nakamura match, which at some point will happen. Probably soon. Bryan is backstage, and then The Miz comes in, and then they squabble over who dislikes the other one the most. No, I dislike you more. No, I dislike you more. It was actually quite a funny segment, but I don't know if it was played for laughs or it was unintentionally
funny. But I think it was only funny because it was them two.
Probably, yes.
So good.
They say that they're going to work together tonight, but after that, Miz is like, but after that, why, it's mine.
Yeah.
Cool, fine. We then get Bayley versus Dana Brooke in a rematch from last
thank
week.
Thank God. Because I didn't feel like last week's match was enough.
I know,
Because I was so excited to see these two go at it again. And once again, Dana Brooke was actually really good.
For the
offense that she got, she hit a really cool, well, they're calling it a senton, but it's a swanton bomb.
Swanton off the top rope.
She hit some cool moves.
There's a springboard elbow.
And then
she looked all right this week.
And then Bayley hits her once and then does that weird knee slam.
The knee face buster thing for the win.
And that's it. And then
I wrote, first note I had before this match started was prediction. This goes 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I was wrong. It went about four.
Yeah, still being negative.
However, again, not very long.
No.
Then after the match, Bayley and Sasha Banks are kind of staring down. Dana's kind of sitting down in the ring. They're kind of advancing on her, being like, blah, 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 saying whatever. And then Lacey Evans makes the save.
I'm coming for you.
Karaoke, mate.
I've got your number. And then she cuts a...
terrible promo.
Bad promo.
Not her fault.
No.
Content was terrible.
It was a bad promo.
You call yourself the legit boss? What I can tell, you're a legit bully.
Was that an impression of Lacey Evans?
No.
So
that's what she sounded like,
though.
If
WWE aren't doing a family storyline, it's a bully storyline. And if they're not, if they want to combine them...
it's a bully and a family storyline.
It's their idea of a dream. It was a bad promo. And
but it baited Sasha into a match.
However...
Lacey and Sasha had a match.
I'm glad that Lacey is getting over, because she is getting over. The crowd like her, and it's the whole Marine thing, which wouldn't work. I don't think in England or in the UK, if you were like, I used to be in the Marines as a wrestler in NXT UK, people would go... but because I think it's a lot more patriotic,
totally.
And that sort of thing,
yeah,
which
it's
is
very much an American
thing.
Great,
which is really nice to see.
Yeah.
But they're getting behind Lacey, and we saw that in the kind of the beatdown angle. Although it was interesting to see that they just put Dana Brooke there because she's also blonde, I guess.
Totally, yeah. She was at ringside. I wrote for this match, first note, prediction. This one goes 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I was right. It went about 5 minutes. Banks beats down Lacey in front of her daughter.
And for the second week in a row, a daughter is the best actor on SmackDown.
That's true, yeah. Sasha was beating down Lacey in the right next to the front row. And in the front row is her daughter, who we'd seen earlier in a backstage promo. And she is furious. She's there, like, swiping out at Sasha, like, oh, screw you.
It was her name's Summer, I believe. And she has lovely curly hair. But she was furious.
She was fuming.
I genuinely thought, I was like, are they going to have her smack Sasha? Because that would have been hilarious.
Would be great.
If they just, like... Because obviously Sasha then can't retaliate.
Yeah.
But like if she smacked her, Sasha's like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then
Lacey comes back. Yeah.
As a distraction.
That would be a DQ though, technically.
The match already would have been called off.
Oh yeah, by the way. The match ended because it was a double count out. It was awful.
And I didn't even hear the ref counting.
Was the ref counting? Well, I don't think he was.
I was watching it and I heard ding, ding, ding. I went.
Yeah. No one heard the ref counting. It just went, the bell just rang and it was a double count out.
Yeah. This is going to be another tag match next week.
Totally, 100%. But yeah, so Sasha got in her daughter's face.
Mm-hmm.
Really great throwback to NXT TakeOver Respect when Sasha made Lizzie cry, doing the little in her face, which was great. But then Lacey gets really fired up. She's like, don't do that to my daughter.
Mm.
Going ham.
Cool. I don't know what I was expecting Lacey's husband to look like, but it wasn't that.
Wasn't that, was it?
No.
Oh, well.
Looks like a nice man, though.
Yeah. Daniel Bryan's walking backstage. They're like, oh, this main event tag match coming up next, and it's Daniel Bryan walking, getting ready for his match. And then it cuts to Miz walking, getting ready for his match, super serious face with his stupid massive sunglasses on. I'm like, I can't take you seriously. I can't take you as a serious competitor when you're dressed from head to toe in a garish getup with those massive eccentric sunglasses, and he's walking like, yeah, I'm gonna kill a man. Like, no, stop it. But then we get the main event, which is Bryan and Miz versus Corbin and Ziggler. This was a match.
Yeah.
It's another really formulaic tag match. Bryan and Miz do some kicks together. What? Which is like a little
thing.
Are they
the Yes Kicks? Or are they the world famous It Kicks?
They're the Yit Kicks this time.
And then there was a break, and then obviously it had been all
it was so
Ziggler
funny.
And Corbin in the break.
We don't see any of the heel beatdown. Because it just comes back and it goes, it's all been Corbin and Ziggler in the break. Yeah. And immediately there's a hot tag.
There was a time in WWTV where if you saw someone getting beaten down before the break, you could almost put any amount of money on it, the fact that the roles have been reversed after the break.
Mm,
yeah. And they would have gone, during the break, this one move happened.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Yep. But they didn't. It was just, oh, it's all been Corbin and Ziggler in the break.
Yeah.
Don't see any replays, don't see anything. So we've seen nothing of the heel beatdown. And before even one more move is put on, faces get the hot tag. Like, yes. All right, sure. But then the heels beat down Bryan a little bit. There is a nice looking finish. I really like this finishing spot where Miz has got Ziggler in the figure four.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bryan runs across the ring, dives over Miz and Ziggler to hit the running knee onto Corbin them, which was a nice little...
But
nice
it felt like
spot.
The entire match was kind of, right, wrestle for a bit, but this is the end spot.
And this is the spot you need to do, yeah.
It was a fun spot, and it was cool to see them put over the figure, like Miz's figure four, because very few people tap to Miz's figure four.
That's true.
I cannot remember someone tapping to the fit to Miz's figure four, because it looks so soft.
It's not great. But then it comes to the end bit, Ziggler taps. And we get confirmation that it is going to be Corbin versus Miz versus Bryan next week in a triple threat to determine the number one contender for the Universal Championship. And as we're getting confirmation of that, the lights start cutting out and like the Fiend's lights start cutting out. And then you hear Wyatt's laugh reverberate throughout the arena as all three of them are kind of eyeing each other up like, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? End of show. So I think a lot of people were expecting The Fiend to come out.
Yes. And
come out he did.
And obviously you would be expecting that because that's what happens. Because
that's what happens on his entrance. So the show goes off the air. But then after the show is finished, thank you to Jaron Walker, who actually tweeted us. I believe he was at the show. He tweeted us, took a video of what happened after the show went off the air. Fiend comes out. Comes down to the ring, goes for a Sister Abigail on Dolph Ziggler, who manages to roll out the way. Miz is in the ring. He manages to get a boot onto Wyatt's face before he, like, I think he either hits a Sister Abigail. Oh, no, I think he gets a claw on Miz.
I haven't actually seen this, so you're going to have to tell me
He gets a claw onto Miz, gets him down, and weirdly, Corbin saves Miz. I don't know how to feel about that, but whatever. And, so Miz goes to the outside. Corbin's there with his scepter, and he's like, oh, I'm going to get you. And then there's a big, like, stare-off between Fiend and Corbin, and then they both run at each other, and Fiend gets in the mandible claw. Yeah. And then the crowd's like, ah, awesome, and they start cheering because he's clawing Corbin, who everyone hates.
Yes.
And then his music starts playing, and he walks off.
Was
so
it
that's
the,
how it ends.
Mandible Santa Claw?
Is that your third today or fourth?
Fourth, I think. You're welcome. It's Christmas.
That's
Christmas it. Come
that's,
early.
That's excessive.
I'm sorry.
Even for you.
I won't do any for the next 4 weeks.
That would be great.
But I think that's fine, but that should have been the way just to end the show.
To end
that,
the
that's a much
show.
Hotter end to the show.
Exactly, yeah.
But unfortunately, there just wasn't enough in this show to make me give this more than a, what is it, a Smackdowner.
Smackdowner. 2 out of 5.
It was, because the best thing in the show was...
Otis.
Like comedy spots.
And comedy that, spots.
And that shouldn't
Otis
be
that,
the case in a wrestling
heavy machinery
show.
Revival
as much
match.
As I enjoyed it, that shouldn't be my lasting memory of a SmackDown
That's
show.
True. Yeah.
The new sports-based SmackDown, Friday Night SmackDown on Fox. 2 out of 5 show for me.
I thought this was a very boring show. Not much seemed to happen. The matches were formulaic. Nothing really seemed to progress. even in the Wyatt Miz Bryan feud, because seeing Miz and Bryan tag together, like the commentary we're really putting over Miz and Bryan tagging, like, oh, can they get along? It's like, well, we've seen them be frenemies for ages. It's not really a different thing. And then I really feel like they could have just had that triple threat that's going on next week. Could have just done that this week if they actually wanted to progress the story.
But to anyone, anyone who enjoyed the show, good. And I'm glad you enjoyed it. And let's be positive now for next week, because it's the holidays. It's Christmas time.
Let's get into some super chats. Let's see what you all thought of the show. Matt Deacon said, Corbin has go away heat from me. Y'all all there yet? Yes.
Yes, to a point. He doesn't need to be in this position. Like, if he was positioned in another role, then no, because he should be getting heat. That's the whole point of Baron Corbin. He's a
heat magnet.
I was going to say a naughty word. He's a silly head. So, yeah, just that's the point of him. And it's good that WWE have booked a heel effectively.
Yeah.
However, I don't want to see him in 3-4 segments a week, and especially not in every single main event.
Exactly, yeah. Corbin has go-away heat from the main event scene for me. I don't want him to disappear off my screen, because I think he's a fantastic heel, and he's a great promo, and he's a great heat magnet, just not in every opening and closing segment of every SmackDown every week.
Yeah.
We've got some miscellaneous WrestleTalk super chats.
Ooh, miscellaneous.
Tim Arndt said, I'd like to wish you WrestleTalk boys and the SWAF Nation happy holidays and a happy new year. Thank you very much,
too,
Tim Arndt.
Tim.
You too.
I miss you.
Happy Easter. Xander LS11 said, nice pictures above the funhouse box, handsome guy.
It's Xandermania.
Xandermania running wild.
A bit of a spoiler for the Christmas show.
Don't do it.
No, come on.
Don't do it. It's a spoiler for the Christmas show.
Very nice t-shirts by a certain Xander. So tune in for those.
Running wild. last super chat. You can't do it. Garrett French says, hey, Andy, can you roll the R's in my name? No. No, you can't.
It is Christmas.
You're banned.
And he's asked.
Ollie has banned you from rolling R's ever again.
Garrett, drop me an email on andy@wrestletalk.com and I will send you a voice note of me doing it. That'll be your Christmas present. And if anyone else wants that, I can maybe start charging 50p for a,
cameo
for a rolled R name. Now. Yeah, andy@wrestletalk.com. I'll happily oblige. And then Ollie can't say that I did it on air.
Absolutely amazing stuff. Karaoke. Let's talk about that, shall we? So, you didn't get to stay for very long.
I stayed for about, I think it's 37 minutes.
Roughly.
Because it was, I know how long it would take me from get...
I knew how long it would take me to get from
Bat and Ball, which is the place where we were doing the karaoke, to Waterloo, which is the train station in London, which I go home from. And it's about 40 minutes. And the last train from Waterloo that I could possibly get was at 9:09.
Mm-hmm.
So it was about 10:36, 37 when I was like, right, I have to go. And I just sprinted past about three or four people. Went, you're in a hurry, mate. Yes, I was in a hurry.
Yes, I am. Can you tell by the fact I'm running?
And then we got to Southwark. I'll keep this short because there's much more interesting things to talk
about. Oh, yeah.
I got to
home.
One station, which is the station before Waterloo.
Yeah.
And then the train just stopped.
Nice.
And we were there for 15 minutes. And by that point, we'd missed what I thought was the last train.
Yeah.
And when I got there, it turned out that there was a train from about 20 minutes earlier, which was so delayed.
Oh, wow.
That I was able to get it, because otherwise I would have just had to turn around.
Yeah, go straight back.
Or just go into my brother's house. He wasn't in, but I imagine one of his friends would have let me in.
Yeah, totally.
Phil's brother.
Let me in.
Yeah.
So while you were doing that,
I sang two songs.
You did.
Don't Go Breaking My Heart by Elton John and Kid D.
Don't Go Breaking My
And Heaven Is a Place on Earth by Belinda Carlisle.
So obviously two
crackers, but I imagine it got a bit more feisty after I'd left.
There were quite a few. There was Luke opened the floodgates, you see, because there was a few good ones. I think I first did I'm on a Boat Yeah, at Lonely Island, did,
which
fun.
Which was very shouty. A lot more shouty than I remember it being.
It's very shouty. So that was probably the first strike against my throat, was that. And then later on, Luke did Ice Ice Baby by Vanilla Ice. And I was like, huh, rapping. Interesting. So I was like, you know,
Pete
what?
Pete used to rap.
I still do.
No.
To this day. And I was like, why don't I do Lose Yourself by Eminem? Because I know the words to that song. So I don't even need to look at the screen.
I know most of the words to that song.
And that was an interesting song for me because that is the first song that I have actively Googled to find out the lyrics so I can learn them.
See, both my brother and my mother have terrible brains for lyrics. So right. If they're singing a song, my mum will make up the lyrics.
My dad does that all the time,
in the
too.
Way that mums often, I find, do.
Yes.
Like, for example, the song by, I think it's Wham, If You're Gonna Do It, Do It Right, Right, Do It With Me. Mm-hmm. She just does do it right, right, do it tonight. Because it rhymes, and therefore it's correct.
And therefore,
whereas my dad
good, yeah.
and I can listen to a song twice and know pretty much all the lyrics. Mm. I just have that kind of brain. So, yeah. But I really wish I'd stayed because I love karaoke.
It was so fun.
We'll just have to do it next Christmas.
Yeah.
12 months away.
Next Christmas. We'll sing it some
karaoke.
More.
God, that was amazing.
Yeah. We're so in
whose
sync.
Whose birthday's next? I think Ollie.
Simon's?
I think Ollie's in March.
I thought someone was in January.
It might be Simon. I can't remember Simon having a birthday since we've been here. He's been here.
I remember.
Mine's in June.
I'm pretty sure it was mentioned yesterday. Can't remember who. I think someone's is the day after the Rumble.
Oh, okay. That
sounds familiar.
That rings a bell.
The 27th. I can't remember who. Anyway, let's talk more about karaoke because we didn't actually talk about what we were doing.
No.
I did Lose Yourself and it was awesome.
Yeah.
Because I did really well. Humble brag. Not even humble. That's just a brag.
It's amazing.
It was just great. And Ollie filmed it and it was awesome. And at the end of it, everyone started chanting Chopper at me because I was doing so good. And that was the moment of the night for me.
Thing is, my thing is that because I have a decent singing voice, but as soon as I get on a karaoke thing, I just feel the need to sing like an idiot.
Yeah, sing like an idiot.
Because I get very... if I actually try and sing
properly,
get really bad stage fright.
Yeah.
Like anyone who went to school with me, so I imagine most of the people listening...
Totally, yeah.
...will know that I used to just break down in front of class because I can't talk on my own in front of people.
Right, yeah.
And therefore, it's the same thing. So if I try and sing properly in front of you guys, as much as you're all my very close friends... I'm thinking, no, they'll. What if I accidentally hit a bum note? So I just went in, kind of going, "Ooh, heaven, you play down here," sort of. I don't know, Vic Rees from Shooting Stars. British reference there, I imagine.
Yes, which everyone will understand.
But I think most people did. Laurie, there was a song at the beginning. I don't know what it was. Like the second song, something about. I think it was about heaven as well.
Yeah.
And he was being such a chav.
Oh, Heaven is a Half Pipe.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
A white hoodie.
Yeah, he was
and he's
wearing
kind of
like
got his hipster beard and the
white
glasses.
White top
and
he glasses,
was,
yeah.
This is terrible for
and
the podcast,
and like the
he
way he's got
kind of,
his tattoos
yeah,
and the
he
jumper.
Was kind of doing
and he was
his
walking
shoulders.
Up and down the karaoke little
I've,
bit
I've
we had.
I've never seen anything like it. I thought
it was great.
What's a chav.
I know, it was awesome.
Yeah.
But then the night progressed further and further. We actually ended up extending the room for an extra half an hour.
Oh, nice.
Which was fun. I couldn't stay for all of that because I had to go to get
several
my,
people walked
my
in and then realized
several people walked in.
It was a private party. You'd have thought they could have put private,
yeah, no, or like reserved or something like that. But no, people just figured.
Private party. We don't mean the AEW tag team. That wasn't biased.
Yeah, exactly. AEW biased. Yeah, there was one dude who actually came for quite a while. I think it was after you left. He just kind of came and was like, "Hey!" and came in and sat down, and then we all just carried on and he was just there. It was super weird. And I went up to go pick a song on the machine selector thingy bob, and he walked up with me and everyone was just like, "Don't let him influence what song you pick." And I was like, "Okay." And then he walked off and then he left.
Nice.
And it was like, "Wow, cool, thanks bud.
He
thanks for
like
coming
a nice
by."
Man. I'm glad he replaced me.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He was the life and soul of the party, really.
Mm. We've got to go live in 40 seconds.
We've got to go live very, very soon, yeah. So I guess we should probably call it here. But last night was ridiculous.
Yes.
I'm very much looking forward to it next year. Absolutely. Good job for organising it.
You're Datsun, welcome. That was part of the reason I was karaoke. So annoyed.
I know, because you'd organised it.
Yeah, but no, I'm there's glad always you next had a wonderful year. Night. And to the podcast people, have a lovely Christmas, because this is probably the last time you'll hear my voice.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, enjoy. I will be back next Saturday. I'm not just going away.
Yeah, you are back next Saturday.
Yeah, but have a lovely Christmas and a lovely Boxing Day if you celebrate Boxing Day. If you're not celebrating Christmas, just have a lovely week and a few days off.
Yes, that would be great. Anyway, love you all. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back soon with more content. Love you all. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.